I want to start out today with a story. There was a time in our lives when we only had three children. We have five. We've raised five, for those of you that don't know our story. But there was a time, it was back in 1998, when we had the three, and the opportunity came open for us to adopt Lori's nephew, my wife's nephew. And he was 1 year old at the time, and he needed to be adopted out. And so we were the family that the state of Washington chose to contact to say, hey, in order for him to stay in the family, we'd like to have you consider adopting Aaron, our son. And we said yes. 2 weeks after we said yes, we had a surprise happen to us. Guess what that was? Yup, little Johnny. Little Johnny, no, he's Big Johnny now. He's 18-year-old Johnny in the very back there. We realize, we're expecting, our fourth biological plus. We've committed to adopting Aaron. Now we're going from three children to five children, right? Whoa! Well, here's the thing. That wasn't, we could wrap our minds around that a little bit. But practically speaking, what ended up happening to us was I didn't have a car that seated seven. My car only seated six at the most, and our other car only seated five. Well, we were kind of stuck, and we weren't really well off, didn't have a lot of money in the bank. I needed to upgrade cars. I was thinking, how am I going to be able to afford an upgraded payment? Somebody stepped in. In fact, it's a couple that attends the branch here. It's Lori's parents, Bob and Helen Bemis. And he happens to be kind of ill right now, so they couldn't be here, but they stepped in and purchased a van for us. Not a brand new one, but one that was adequate, worked out for us, that seated seven people, right? And I'm telling you, that was a gift that we never paid back. It was just a gift to us that helped us out of a tough spot. It was wonderful. It felt so good. It was a high-impact gift for us at that time. As our family was expanding, as well as the expenses of family rising, that somebody would step in and actually give us something that met a huge need for us at that time. We were so grateful for that. All right? Now, that's my story of one of the times when a gift came to us, somebody gave something to us that we didn't pay back. It was just a complete gift that really impacted that we were so thankful for. I would like you around your tables. By the way, we have one table here that's got all the expensive seats that nobody sat in. And if any of you'd like to crawl up to this table, you're welcome to. But we want to make sure there's enough people around tables so that you can just have a quick discussion. Maybe there's one or two of you that has a story about a gift that somebody gave you at one time in your life that impacted you that you're thankful for, right? Just coming out of Thanksgiving, you're thankful for. But it really impacted you. It met a need in your life. And you look back on that with a fond memory. And you don't all have to share, but there might be one or two of you or three of you if you have time. But I'm going to give you a couple minutes just to kind of share around your tables. It's kind of fun if we have table fellowship that we can do that. So go for it, and I'll let you know when you got about 30 seconds left, okay? So just share. Thank you so much for sharing some. Hopefully you have some recollection of something, perhaps very small. Could have even been something that somebody gave you, like a dust collector thing I think of sometimes, that is a meaningful gift that impacts you about something, about a life that's maybe given you time, maybe helped change things, maybe spoken to you or given you counsel, something like that. Or could have been something like an inheritance, that you got that was like you didn't expect, and it was more than you might have thought. Whoa! And it just rocks your world. And so thanks for doing that. Giving can be an expression of love. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't, but it can be an expression of love. We're talking about love this whole month of November. We've done this will be our third lesson. And last week, Matt Shively spoke, did a great job. I listened to it online, and you can too. We didn't get a very good recording of it. Our fault on that. I apologize to Matt over that. And those of you that are trying to perhaps capture what he shared last week, right here, great stuff about God cares. Recommend listening to that. And I just thank you, just dittos to my wife, that as we were gone to the marriage conference, it's just something we like to take in. We appreciate the opportunity to do that because another person can step up here and teach, and then, you know, others of you pick up too where we needed it. So thanks so much again for that. Love, I'm gonna show you some testimonies about love here on the screen, and there's imperfect, or might call human love, and then there's this love we're talking about. This love is a divine love, a perfect love that can, and what we've talked about over the course of the month, is a love that can overcome circumstances that aren't so great, that come upon us, that impact us, sometimes we think negatively, right? And we talked about how Jesus was in the boat with the disciples, and that his love was a divine love that cared for them, and even though that the disciples thought that they were doomed in this crazy storm that came up, this furious kind of squall, Jesus was still there. And sometimes in our life, the boat rocks like that. Our life rocks. And we think everything's going to come apart, and everything's going to go downhill, and we're going to crash and burn, and it's all done, and it's bad. But we got to remember that love can overcome circumstances. God's love for us can help us no matter what may come in this life. We talked about that. We talked how love can rescue relationships and how love is patient and love is kind. We looked at the different parts of love and how love is an unselfish thing and how God is so unselfish toward us and forgives us and how that becomes the love that we grab onto and work with, and it can really matter and change our lives. It can. Love can. And so watch the screens here. And these people that talk about love right now.
Love.
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 Love in this world is pretty messed up.
It asks for a lot and it never returns the favor.
Love in my world? Well, it brings more trouble than it's worth.
In my world, love has felt like
sabotage.
It flees into the night. It leaves at the first sign of trouble.
And it never feels like I love you no matter what.
Because love in my world, it leaves.
And when it leaves, there's only disaster left.
Oh, promise is a lot, but it doesn't deliver much.
It breaks hearts.
I've picked up the pieces of my broken heart one too many times.
So I build walls.
Love isn't worth the tears.
The pain, the loneliness.
The surrender.
It's exhausting.
Even when you try to do love right, love fails.
I have made a mess out of love.
What good is it?
Can't help me.
Why love at all?
Why do I even try to love?
Why sacrifice to carry the burden?
Why?
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 Because there is a perfect love.
Perfect love that can end the disaster.
A perfect love that can heal the brokenhearted.
There is a love that saved those who are dwelling in this messed up world.
God tells us about it because we wouldn't recognize it if it showed up on our own doorstep.
It's a love that takes its time.
It's profound.
It doesn't brag or badmouth.
God's love is like a shield that we know will never leave us.
That you can trust.
Hope in.
And you never, ever exhaust it.
That's his kind of love.
And it never fails.
And while we were keeping records of wrongs and self-seeking and being unkind, he still died for us.
How can I love like that?
How can I love like that?
How can I love like that?
Because I am loved like that.
I can love well, not because of me,
but because he first loved me.
And so we've been talking about the divine love. That's God's love. He loves us first. It's the source. He's the source of the love that can change relationships, can overcome circumstances. The love that we're going to talk about this morning can change the world. It's this kind of love that comes from God. So the Bible says we know love and rely on the love of God has for us because God is love. Look what the Bible says there. God is love. 1 John 4:16. So it's this transforming, we could say, power that's resident in God. It's his very character. God can do anything. And out of his love, we receive something that is very powerful and transforming. God loves and changes the world, and as we take his love and use that love in our lives, we can change the world around us, the world of somebody else's life, perhaps our own inner world as well. The most famous verse in the Bible, a number of you know this by heart, right? Look at the screen. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, I've given the emphasis on that one word, loved. Shouted it out to us by capitalizing it and underlining it, because that's what Jesus is talking about when he says this. He's pointing to the divine love of God. That's what he's saying. This is how powerful this is. Love can, what did he say? Change the world. Love changes the world. That's what sent Jesus to us, that our lives would be changed, transformed from being in a place of eventual judgment or perish to a place of a life forever and ever and ever. I think that's the greatest news on the planet, don't you? That's why we exist here, to know this Jesus whom God sent out of his love and to make him known to as many as we can. That's what we're about doing, isn't it? God has this incredible vision for the world. He wants to see hearts transformed and changed and drawn close to him. He wants to see homes transformed and made better. He wants to see workplaces and teams in workplaces be at their very best. He wants them to thrive out of a kind of loving environment, that kind of culture that we want to continue to just dwell in and see in the church. But these are the things that can change communities. These are the things that change nations. This kind of thing, this power, this transforming power of love. Well, let's look a little more closely at that. Look at the verse again, but let me emphasize another word here. For God so loved the world that he, what does it say? Gave. God so loved the world that he took action. He gave. And who did he give? God gave his very best, didn't he? God gave his one and only Son, the Bible says. That's a gift. Friends, beyond any monetary value, beyond any physical wealth value, that is something which we don't trade for anything, one of our own children, a son or a daughter. That's just the highest value stakes that there are. And this is what God gave. Out of his love, he gave. We got to get that. Out of his love, he gave. Because that's what he was trying to do, is bring this vision to transform the world, to bring everybody back to him. We call it the reconciliation, the redemption of humanity, the salvation, we say, or the very healing of a relationship between us and the Creator God. That's what God was after. And you know what? Because of the church, what he did is he said, I want to enlist you. This is what my body is to do, to make Jesus known, we say. That is to make disciples, to make followers of Jesus. Go and bring reconciliation. It's the good news. That's what Christmas is all about. We're ramping up to an incredible Christmas here. And that's the idea of Christmas. For God so loved the world, he gave. And so he came to earth to save those on the earth, to save us. What an amazing thing. And so I want us to consider something very practical with regard to the very worship of God this Christmas and with regard to the helping of people with the mission of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to have what we did last year to a small extent at our very beginning infant third month. We had a little offering to help some people. Well, we're going to do that this year again, and it's probably going to become a standard thing that we have a year-end offering. We're going to call it the Christmas offering. It's an extra offering. It's not our regular tithes and offerings to go to pay for this room, to go to pay for some administrative details, to go for payroll, to go for the insurance that we need coverage. It's not about that. This is a separate set-aside amount for outreach and benevolence. And we do help people benevolence-wise. We did last Christmas. We have already this year. We've helped people with needs that they have. We also do outreach, don't we? Look at some of those pictures included there. Some of those pictures have to do with some of the outreach that we've done over this past year. That outreach costs money. So we've kept track of people that come because of like our cards that we send out. How many of you here might have come from a card that we'd send out in the mail? From some of our, yep. So there's half of the people that attend the branch, about 100 people that are involved in the branch that have come because we've invested in inviting people that we don't know personally, but people that might be interested in responding to an invitation to a church. Because a lot of times people don't know, does a church really want them to come? Well, an invitation actually says, we want you to come. So putting that out there by way of putting mailers out, and we do some Facebook boosts and pay for that. We do whatever we can to get the word out, to try to connect people, sometimes back to God. Sometimes, for the very first time, they're discovering and exploring the idea of God, or trying to get underneath this whole thing about Jesus Christ. Trying to understand that. And so that's what we're doing. We're going to have these handed out. They're little envelopes. They're called a Christmas offering envelope. So maybe there could be somebody or a couple, two or three people that would be willing to hand these out right now. Yeah. Huh? I don't have them. They might, yeah. So those will be coming around. It's just an extra envelope. Not everybody gives by envelopes. Not everybody gives by a check or cash, and we're not even going to take up an offering for that necessarily this morning. This is an offering that'll go all the way through the end of the year. So in churches that I've been part of in the past, year-end offerings are kind of popular because some people like to give extra at the end of a year. You know why? Because it's tied to reduce their tax burden sometimes, right? And that's, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That's a good management of, especially if you like the cause that you're giving to. So a lot of people will give extra at the end of a year. We, in another church that we've been part of, Laura and I have been part of, we called it a harvest offering because it had to do with reaching the harvest of people that might at any given time be ready to turn to God. Be ready to say, I want to learn more about God. Would you help me to learn more about this God or the Bible? And so, everybody notices when you start talking about money, right? Everybody say yes. Even kids notice when we start talking about money, okay? They really do. they kind of get this. And there were these three boys that were schoolyard boys, and they were all bragging about how their dad's the better dad, right? And so the one boy says, my dad, he scribbles a few words on a piece of paper, calls it a poem, and they give him $100. Ooh, cool. Yeah, the other boy said, hey, I got one better than that. My dad, he scribbles some words on a piece of paper, calls it a song, and they give him $1,000, $1,000. And the third guy said, hey, my dad's got all you guys beat. My dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper, calls it a sermon, and it takes 8 to 10 guys to collect all the money. Yeah. Everybody notices when you talk about money, and it's not a comfortable subject. Amen? Okay, good. We got that out of the way. So, but it's a necessary subject. Every one of you pays bills. Every one of you has to deal with money. And if you don't have it, life's hard. And if you got too much of it, sometimes life's hard. But we'll take that hardship over the other one, right? So, but the idea is money. And the interesting thing about the Bible is you get to read the Bible, you get to know more about what God's talking about in the Bible. One of the most practical things Jesus talks about, you know what it is? Money. You know why? Because everybody, even the kids, know about money, and money is part of life. And Jesus said some things about that. One of them was, you know, where your treasure is, what you value, and money's a value, and we, you know, it expresses itself a number of ways, there will your heart be. And so Jesus knows sometimes the most practical thing we can do to build our understanding and relationship with God is to deal with money in our lives. Well, we think that what we're trying to do as a church with money is one of the most important things we can do with money, and that's to reach people, to give people something that might change their lives, even their eternities, friends. And so over the years, as I've talked about money and giving, for one, we're a church that believes in helping ourselves to manage money the best we can. We have something called a Financial Peace University course that's we've had already a couple times as a church. We've offered it, and a number of community people have taken it, as well as branch people. And it's coming up again after the first of the year. Recommend it to anybody. Lori and I have been through it, I think, 3 times. You know, and we could probably use it again. It's just kind of like the marriage thing. You know, the other day I took my car in to have the oil changed. You know why? How many of you ever take your car in to have the oil changed? Or some of you probably do it yourselves. Yeah, some of you guys do it. How many of you never take your car in to have the oil changed? I got a prediction for you. If you'd ever take and maintain your car, one of these days what's going to happen is it's going to die. Right? Maintenance required on all vehicles, right? Guess what? It's true of marriages, right? It's true of financial management. We sometimes need a checkup to take and do some of those things that keep things humming. I love it when my marriage hums, right? And I love it when my finances hum, don't you? Yeah. So these are important things. So the branch has helped families over the past year, investing in people. That's something extremely important that we're called to as Christians. We're also investing in outreach, especially as a new church. This is of paramount importance, that we do mission work. Okay, we're a small church. We're getting rooted. We're getting established. We're like a mission field, trying to start a church across the other side of the world, perhaps. But sometimes there are churches on the other side of the world that send people to here. Actually, Australian churches send people to this part of the Northwest to plant churches. You know why? Because there's not enough churches. And the churches that are here aren't getting the job done enough. And so there's more missionaries needed to this area. We're like that. And so we put our money into that. We try to help whatever we can. And so we've got some money budgeted, but we could use some additional help with that. So a Christmas offering, to do what Jesus came to do, to love through giving, that lives could be changed. And so that's what this Christmas offering is all about. It's a very practical way to worship God. You know, one church that we were part of called this a Happy Birthday Jesus offering. Because Christmas is his birthday, and when birthdays come around our house, as the kids got older, they liked the gifts to get bigger. Right? Has that ever happened to you in your house? And so anyway, it's a Happy Birthday Jesus offering. Perhaps a gift to Jesus might be worthy of our greatest effort to say, Jesus, we love you, and we know that this kind of gift goes toward reaching people. And so that's a very practical worship and response. And so, as already is indicated, we have the Christmas story coming up. Just to kind of give you an idea of our outreach this coming month in December. The Christmas story will take place right here. It's on a Sunday, the 18th. We try to get as many people involved as possible. Last year, we had 30 people involved. from little kids, any little kid that's there that day can be part of the Christmas story as it develops right out here in front. But we tell the story through drama. Nobody has to say any words. Through the Bible being read, the story being read, and we get a number of people to do that. And through music. And we have some different special music and little ensembles. And we've got some great ideas coming forward to that. This is a great opportunity to invite our friends, our family to come and kind of witness and hear and see the story of the birth of Jesus. How God so loved that he gave his one and only son. How God became man and dwelt among us. So anyway, that's a great thing. And so we're going to be reaching out just by invitations. And then on Christmas Eve, we're not having a Sunday Christmas service, but we're having a Christmas Eve service. And we send out 10,000 invitations to the broad community. We're going to push or boost Facebook advertising. We put money into this. Last year, we had our second largest attendance at Christmas Eve. And people just come out for Christmas Eve. You invite somebody to a Christmas Eve service, guess what? They'll probably come. If you know who they are and they don't have a church they're already part of, and they're not totally against Jesus or something, they'll probably go with you. Yeah, Christmas Eve. And so we're really reaching out this year again, as we try to do at the branch here. And so I just believe that every person, you don't even have to be a Christian, wants to help other people, for the most part, unless you're really evil, right? Every person wants to help other people. And I believe most people want to be generous. Everybody agree with me? Am I just kind of crazy in my thinking that way? Everybody in this room wants to help people, wants to help. Everybody wants to be generous. As generous as you feel like you can, sometimes it's hard to quantify, to figure out what does that mean for me in my life, generosity. It's something each person has to work on. So here's what I want you to know. My giving, your giving, helps change someone's world. I was pretty new to the faith. Way back, this goes back now, probably close to 30 years ago. And I wasn't getting very engaged in the church. I was a little bit engaged. And they wanted me to go to I was a bachelor at the time. This is before marriage, so it has to be over 30 years because we're going on 30 years. And a number of the other singles wanted me to go to a single adult retreat, a Christian retreat. And I was, financially a little strapped at the time. I really lean, and I said, I don't think I'm going to be able to afford to go to that. It was probably like $70. So I decided to not go. Guess what happened? Somebody came to me and said, hey, there's a couple people that sponsored you to go. In other words, they're going to pay for you to go to this single adult retreat. Two little old ladies, one named Nellie and the other named Hazel. Okay? This goes back now. Nellie and Hazel put their... These gals were not wealthy gals. They just did what they could, and they stretched themselves. I believe they gave sacrificially and helped me to go to that single adult retreat. That was a pivotal hinge point for me in my Christian walk, friends. Their giving helped to change my life. Very small, little bit, but it mattered. And that's why I recall it so much. Maybe some of you already heard me share that story about how giving impacts. It did for me. It was so important for me how that worked out for me in my life. And I'm so grateful. But here's the thing. Your giving doesn't just change someone else. It changes you. Giving changes us. Look what John Bunyan said. A quote from him, you have not lived today until you have done something for someone who can never repay you. There's something about giving that's good. Jesus said it's more blessed to give. You'll feel better giving than receiving. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And as we express ourselves in giving in whatever ways and around the tables in the beginning, you probably, received. But those of you that you know, as you've given to people that could never repay it, There is something special about that. There's something in your heart that goes deep about that. Just look at some of the benefits of giving for you as a giver, not just from the fact and the standpoint that you're going to help somebody else and their lives could be changed, but from the standpoint of how it helps us as givers. Look what the Bible says. Giving draws us closer to God. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. These are words from Jesus. Giving helps me to keep God first in my life. How so? Because it's a priority gift in our budgets. Be sure to set aside a tenth so that you may learn. Look what it says. So that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. Our treasure placed in heaven, placed toward God, gives him great worship. It sets his value above all others. Giving is a practical means by doing that. It helps us when we give, not just what that money could mean for the changed life of someone else. And then look at this one. Giving blesses me in return, just a triad of verses. Give and it will be given to you, Jesus said. A generous man will himself be blessed, and a generous man will prosper. You might have this envelope now, right? You ever have a copy of one of these envelopes? Everybody got one of these? And, you know, you don't have to give by envelope. You can go online and give this kind of gift. You can select Christmas offering. This is an addition to our regular tithes and offerings. We sure wouldn't want to see, okay, the branch, you know, operational costs suffer because people selected to say, well, I'm just going to transfer it over to this. No, this would be an additional gift. In addition, so the Bible talks about tithes and offerings. This would be like the offering, a special offering, happy birthday Jesus offering, year-end offering, whatever you want to call it. It's going to go and be set aside, whatever fund comes up. We haven't set some goal for that. There's two values I'd like you to consider with regard to this. The one is participation. Wouldn't it be cool to see a high number of people engaged, even kids, that say, okay, or, you know, whoever you are, even if you're a couple in a home, okay, I'm going to give in a kind of a separate way. I'm going to maybe say I'm going to have one less or two less coffees per week and accumulate that money over the course of a month and give a happy birth, give this Christmas offering that way. Children can give this. I encourage you to think about it separately and try to be a participant at whatever level you can. It can be as whatever level. People are different places, and so sometimes somebody's sacrificial gift might seem small to another person just because they're at a different place. So it's a relative thing. And so God looks at that kind of a thing. So, and then generosity. Generosity, who knows? This could be the largest gift, single gift you'd ever given, perhaps to the branch. Or it could be perhaps the very first gift that you'd ever give to the branch. And that might be a generous thing for you to consider at this point in your journey with God. So just encourage you to consider that. Again, these can come in any time, or you can go online and do them. They'll be kept separately, and we'll keep you kind of up to date toward the end of the month of December on where we are on that and how God is blessing with a fund to help us to reach out and help people that are in need over the course of 2015. Okay, sound good? It's as simple as that. I want to just invite you to pray with me. Imagine what love can do. Imagine what love can do as not just God has given, but that his followers give for the sake of the people that don't know him. Okay? Imagine as that level of energy through giving practical things like what we're talking about, what can happen to people's lives? And there might be people someday that stand up here like I do and talk about a Nellie and a Hazel and what that meant to them because of your individual gift in something like a Christmas offering here. We take communion at the end of the service as kind of a response, and we also have these cards that we encourage every person to complete and turn in. If you're brand new with us, could I invite you to be a participant and turn a card in for us today? Just let us know that you're here. It warms our heart to have a record of your attendance. We'd like to be able to, we don't sell your name to anybody, we don't sell our list, but we just like to be able to respond to you and say thank you for being part of the branch. And you can also then receive some things from us in the future as to what's going on, along with some of the activities coming up over the month of December. So we'll collect these in a little bit, but in our response time here, you can take communion. There's a table behind, right back here, I'm pointing, and right back there. As this next song is sung, it's a worship song. I invite you to get up from your chairs, all that would like to participate, you don't have to, and take communion. Communion simply is about remembering the gift of God, which was Jesus Christ, and what he did for us. That gift that came to help, that gift that brings healing and reconciliation, redemption to our souls and the souls of many. And so I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have communion and respond by writing out something on the connection card. Check out the backside of that. If there's any offerings that want to come in today, regular offerings or Christmas offering, you're sure welcome to that. Or you can just kind of take your time over the course of the month, pray about it, and plan for it. God, hear our prayer of thanks to you for how great you are to us in the gifts that you have showered upon us. The biggest one, the most important one to our lives is Jesus. Thank you for sending him. And we'll be looking at that, God, all this next month. Sending him to be our sacrifice for sin. We needed him. And you responded. We couldn't pay for it. You had to just give him to us. Thank you. Receive our thanks as we remember the cost to you, the sacrifice to you, what it meant for you to give out of that incredible love that can save. In Jesus' name, amen.